Good to see all of you. Glad you're in town. Continue and pray for those who are still out of town. Hope you had a Merry Christmas. And as we're looking to go into a brand new year, does it seem like time flies by these days? I tell you, as you get older, it seems like it flies by. Another year we're finishing out, and thinking back over the past year. And so this morning, Pastor Rush finished our studies in Romans last week, so we'll begin a new study in the beginning of the year. We'll be going into the Old Testament. He'll be bringing messages out of the Old Testament. So this morning we're in 2 Peter, as has been read. And it's for 2018. I am resolved to do what? Are you a goal setter? Do you set goals at the new year? Goals to graduate. We got those that had just graduated this past year in school. Goal to get a new job. Don't like the job you're in. Not going to like the job you're going to get either someday. Right? It's amazing how you'll get a new job. You're all excited and everything and talk to somebody and a year later and it's kind of like, I got this, and this, you know. New job, different things that you want to do, eat, don't eat, eat the right things, eat all you want, but exercise, you know, do you have goals that you set? Do you look at your last year and say, hey, you know, I want to do this, and this, and this? What about spiritual goals? You set spiritual goals at the beginning of each year? Is that something that you do, or is that something that you? For me, I kind of almost want to talk myself out of it. Well, it can be legalistic, right? Or it can just be checklisty, you know. And so I'm just kind of setting up these things that's just a checklist for me to do, you know. And I can accomplish those things. Or you know, if I keep doing these things or whatever, I may kind of be looked at as holier than thou, you know. Or really, that's God's work anyway, right? So just let go and let God do His work. Do you talk yourself out of spiritual goals? Are you fearful from the standpoint? I also know, as Rush has said before in one of the other messages, we may set some of the goals, but we have a tendency not to follow through on them. And so sometimes I'm hesitant to set those goals because I'm setting myself up for failure, so to speak. And so I do think it's a good thing to set goals, to evaluate. I know some of the most successful businessmen, successful men in life, period, are ones who schedule their time very rigidly. They manage their time well. And that's a key character trait of those kind of individuals. So as we're just kind of finishing out this year, we're going to be going into a new year here the next day. Just kind of went to this passage. These are some written words, the last written words of a dying man. And he's writing to a group of people. And so we're going to kind of take and look. You're thinking, okay, he knows he's dying. The Lord revealed it to him way back earlier in his life. I don't know that if he, now some say he may realize he says, my death is imminent. So he knows he's dying soon. He knows how he's going to die. And so we're sitting here and thinking, okay, if he's going to write these last words, you would think they would be pretty important. So I want us to just kind of look at this and just kind of, and for you to consider the things that we look at and how we may make decisions that will set goals for us, things that we will strive for, primarily in our spiritual walk with the Lord. He starts off here in these verses, and this is almost just kind of like a side note because we don't have enough time. Cord even said, really? I'm going to read 15 verses? Yes, you're going to read 15 verses. And then I'm going to try to cover them. Peter, Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, a bondservant, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think of servant, what do you think of? This is someone who is primarily subservient to a dominating force. I think of things that, you know, that I've watched on TV, a show called Intervention. Don't watch much of it anymore. Watch it before. But people who struggle with addiction. You know, you watch their lives and they will forsake everything to get whatever they need. And they're subservient to that. Now that's a sinful kind of illustration, but the whole illustration point is, look what they will go to make sure that they get and do what they need to do. And Peter is saying here, he is a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ, totally servant to that dominating influence that's in my life. And the faith that he has responded to, the faith that has been given to him, and that is what he is striving to do. And he lists it as the very first thing. He is an apostle. He is an eyewitness of walking with the Lord. But fellow, would you? You know, I know we don't write letters, you know. I know we send texts, you know. But we don't write letters like, and even if we did, we never said, hey, this is Kevin. I work at Kimba, and I'm a pastor at Paramount Church. Okay? But they did. But he chose to say, hey, I'm Simon Peter. I'm a servant, a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you even consider writing that down? Would people who read this say, yeah, he really is. He really is. Would people look at me and say, yeah, he really is. Maybe one of the things you consider to making it one of your goals this year to say, hey, how is my servanthood? How is my service to the Lord? How is my life being dominated by this? I'm totally subservient, and that is my goal. Again, that's almost like side note, so we got to move. But he talks about, he says, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ, the same faith that has been given to us, do you think of yourself as having the same faith as Simon Peter? Or do you think of him as kind of like one of these superheroes in the Bible, and they're extraordinary in what God has done for them and set them apart, and going, no. The same faith that saved Peter is the same faith that saves us. And he's going to talk about what does that faith look like. It starts off because of the righteousness that is in Jesus Christ. That is the faith that we have. He is going to go in and start to describe this faith a little bit more and more. But this is our salvation. It is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. He is God and Savior. If you ever have anybody question that, you can always run to this verse right here. No. He is God and Savior. And by His righteousness, we are saved. The salvation that comes to us through this righteousness is what reconciles us to God. Christ came and he was born, as we just celebrated, lived a sinless life, had no sin, took on our sin, took on the wrath of God to pay for the sins of those who would be saved. And that righteousness is what restores us to that relationship with God. He goes on, he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. We'll talk about a little bit more of this towards the end. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. This divine power. When you think of that, what is it? It's everything, right? I mean, He is the creator of everything. He spoke everything into order, took and created something from nothing. His divine power, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. This is this power that has come and that He can make this reconciliation for us. It is the divine power of God given to us freely for everything that pertains to life and godliness. That the song that we just sang, over and over and over, God's faithfulness. His divine power has been given to us, that faith has been given to us that will save us. And it is His doing. It is the free gift, as we know out of Ephesians chapter 2. It's a free gift of God. His divine power has given that to us. He has satisfied everything for us. You have everything that pertains to life and godliness through the true knowledge of God who called us. This faith that has been given to us has come because He has pursued us. He set His affections on you way back in eternity past and said, "You will be mine and I will come after you." And God calls us to Himself through the preaching of the gospel, through somebody coming and saying, "Hey, do you know Christ is your Savior?" They open up the Scriptures and say, "Do you know you're lost? That you have sinned against the Holy God and there's no hope for you apart from the work that Jesus Christ has done on the cross. But yet, if you will repent of those sins, you would be saved." Calls us. He comes after us. He takes that and calls us to Himself in such that we will come. You ever been around any sheep? You ever been around a herd of sheep? We had a chance to visit somebody up in Georgia one time. And the guy was a sheep farmer. And so this guy said, "Hey, you got to see this, you know, come over here." And so we go over there and we go to this farm and there's probably 75 sheep down in the pasture. They're probably 200-300 yards away from us. And he goes, "Go ahead." We meet the guy out there and he goes, "Call him. Call him." He says, "Just call him, say, 'Here, sheep.'" You know, and he says, "Oh, we holler and go, 'Here, sheep.'" You know, and they all kind of, they turn and look. He said, "Call him. 'Here, sheep.'" And they're all looking at you. Like, well, come on. Hello. The other guy that's with me, he calls him. We're both standing there calling him. The guy who is the shepherd of those sheep, he goes, "Here, sheep." And I mean, man, within like 60 seconds, there's 75 sheep all around us. You can't walk because they heard His voice. They were His sheep. When He calls you, you will come. What a gracious, divine work that God does for us. That He calls us to Himself and we will hear. And He says, "I'm going to make you my own. And I'm going to do this through my divine power, through the righteousness of my Son. And I'm going to do this through my Son and accomplish this work through Him. And I'm going to pour my wrath out on Him to do this work." This is the faith that He's talking about. It is a work of, it's a work of God. He goes on and He says, "For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises." What do you think of when you think of promises? What kind of promises has He made to us? Are you confident in that you believe this, that God has done this work, and that the one day that when I die and then I'll stand before Him face to face, that this will really be true? That my only plea will be for Christ as my mediator? The one who has taken my place, if He steps in here, I'm all good. If He doesn't step in here, I'm in trouble. But all that my salvation depends on the work of Christ and His righteousness, and so that He's restored me and made me your son and your daughter. Great and precious, magnificent promises. What makes them precious? What makes them magnificent? I want you to answer. It's the one who's making them. It's what makes it precious. It's what makes it magnificent. Is that He's never not kept a promise. I remember being trained as a young dad to don't tell your kids, hey, I'm going to do this later, and then don't do it. Because you start to build in them and go, eh, he may or may not. And if I do it again, and then it's like, then I don't go outside and throw the ball with him because I ended up getting busy and it got dark. Well, we'll do it tomorrow. God never, never, ever has not kept his promise. That's amazing. His promise that he will keep you in this salvation, that he has done this great work. He's given you, he's promised you, I'll give you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Because in this, there is a calling that comes with this and a way to live by being his son and his daughter. And he has promised you. He has promised us. And yet we get anxious, right? Are you worried about 2018? Mm-mm. I got one. Mm-mm. You get anxious for things? We do, right? He tells us, don't be anxious. Why? Because he knew we would be anxious. There'd be those times. But as we grow in this faith and you live your life based on these great and precious promises and you see God start to walk you through this life and provide everything that you need. You hear that? I thought you might. It's unbelievable the things that he has done for us, that he has promised to us. He just continues over and over and over to continue to lavish his grace on us and his mercy and his provision so that no matter what comes my way, my supply will be sufficient. Great and precious promises so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Divine nature. You've gone from his divine power to now we have his divine nature has been given to us. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. His Spirit lives within us. Through this magnificent, unbelievable story of salvation and all that God has done for us, and had he not done it, we would bust hell wide open. Had he not called us, had he not pursued us with this great love, we would continue to run away from him. We would continue to be his enemy. Scripture tells us, while we were yet his enemies, Christ died for us so that we could be reconciled. He not only does that, but then he pours his Spirit into us so that we now have his divine power, his divine nature living within us. This is what God does. We were born again. You've been made alive. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. You had no hope. You could not save yourself. There's nothing that we could do to make that happen. And yet God does that for us. And then he gives us this new nature, a new way to live, puts his Spirit in us, gives us his divine power, has granted to us precious promises, magnificent promises. Man, have you been overwhelmed by your salvation lately? Or have you just kind of gotten used to it? You think of the things that God has done. Have you just set yourself down at the foot of the cross lately? And look at all that God has done for us and all that he has promised to do for us and in us and through us. We should be overwhelmed by this great faith that Peter is talking about, that we and everyone that is saved by this same faith. This is the way that you come to Christ. You don't know Christ as your Savior this morning, then you need to do that today. Run to him. You sense he is calling you, he's drawing you, whatever that is, and you're not understanding, keep running. Keep coming. Keep asking. Grab someone. Ask the questions. Explain more and more. We had a situation the other day that we were in, and they just the person that was there just goes, "What is grace? What is grace?" Oh, let me tell you, you don't have enough time. It's astounding what God has done. Moving on. So then he goes, "Now, for this very reason also, since all of that," verse 5, "now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge and self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love." Well, there's a good list for you right there to work on for 2018. It won't be legalistic. It comes with promises. But he starts off and he says, apply all diligence. Sometimes, do you think that this life should come easier? Should we have to work at our Christianity? Should we have to work at our relationship with God? Isn't God doing the work in us? Isn't He the one who is accomplishing that work in us? Yes, He is. But it also takes a willing participant, somebody who is seeking to do His will. It's clear. He goes, all diligence. You're to, all diligence, all that we have, be working at this. I would encourage you to go and Google Jonathan Edwards' resolutions. Have you ever read them? You ever looked at them? You ever heard of it? Well, good, all of you. Go Google it and read them. There's 70 of them. He wrote them out. And some of them are long, some of them are short. Most all of them are very intense. 70 resolutions. It's something that he went back to every week. And he read them every week. Some of them that you read in there, he checked himself every night to evaluate his day. Diligence? And say all that because that's diligent. That is having a mindset and setting aside the things that he feels God had called him to do, because he makes this statement. And I think this is a great qualifier to offset that whole legalistic, you know, fearfulness of failure. But that he is striving to do this. He is intently working to do this. He says, being sensible that I am unable to do anything without God's help, I do humbly entreat Him by His grace, which you talk about here, and the grace has been done, by that same grace that saved us, the grace that continues, to enable me to keep these resolutions so far as they are agreeable to His will and for the glory of Christ. If we go into and you set those goals with that kind of attitude, I believe that this is what God's calling me to do. According to the Word and the knowledge that I have and what I know about Him and the calling that is on my life, I believe that this is what God's calling me to do. And I'm begging Him and entreating Him to help me do this by His grace, the power, by His divine nature, by His divine power that has been given to me. He will help me accomplish these. And as long as I make sure they are agreeable to His will and to His glory. That is a great qualifier. But in your faith, in this what God has done, He goes on, diligently supply moral excellence. That's not a polishing up of the outside and doing good. That is working on divine qualities. The things that make us look like Jesus. Those are the things that you are to be diligent about. Peter is saying, so that because all this that God has done, then we should be doing this. And you should be doing it diligently. Knowledge, growing in knowledge. This is not just growing in knowledge. He is also combating false teachers of the day that are coming in and they're trying to preach something different here. That there's another way or there's more to salvation than what He's done. He's tearing them apart. He has eaten their lunch. And in this knowledge, it is good because we have a way of reading that Bible and making it fit my desires. And then not knowing, setting up a God who, I don't know, that attribute makes me uncomfortable. Sorry. You just keep pursuing and you keep walking with God and you keep loving Him and you will grow beyond that. There are some things that will make you uncomfortable in what the Scriptures tell us about God. In knowledge, but it is a practical knowledge. It is a fleshing out of that knowledge that our theology changes the way that we live. It's not just knowledge for knowledge's sake. It is knowledge so that you know the truth and that you're living out the truth. It's an obedience to the will of God. Self-control. Self-control is like as an athlete. Paul talks a lot about that. Having self-control, controlling yourself so that you're moving in this purpose. And I'm going to take away the things that will distract me. Lay aside the things that will cause me not to be a good athlete. I will eat in a certain way. I will go to bed at a certain time. I will do certain things. This is a self-control that he's talking. Perseverance and patience for trials and suffering. By this faith, by this Spirit, by this divine working within me. Through His magnificent and precious promises. Because also I know God is working in these trials. Here's an easy way to think of these. All of these are working together to continue to grow us in our faith. Think of these two as like self-control, rightly handling the pleasures of life. And think of perseverance and patience as rightly handling the pressures and the problems of life that come to us. Those two work hand in hand with one another. Do you rightly handle the pleasures of life in a godly way? Pleasures. I like my ease. I like my comfort. I like not being busy. I like to eat. That's what he's talking about. As we live this life, and as we're pursuing this with all diligence, these are the things we should be adding to our faith, this faith that He's given to us, this grace that He has given to us. We should be growing in this faith. I was talking with a man this past week, just barely a baby in the Lord. And I was talking to Debbie, and she's like, "What did you say this? Did you ask him about this? Did you do this?" And I'm like, golly, I felt like I was like throwing up on him as it was. I'm like, he can't handle all that. Because he's not grown in his faith. And this is what Peter is saying, that we diligently, we keep doing this with our faith by the divine power and the Spirit that God has put into us, that this is what we pursue with great effort. Godliness. God-likeness. Be like God. In translation, put it as worship well. Romans 12, 1 and 2. You guys just memorize that. She just quoted it last week in ABF. That's what it is. Brotherly kindness. Love the brethren. These are others that are like us. This same faith. We love one another. It's why we do community groups. It's why we do life together. We weep with those who weep. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We serve one another. I should come in here and I should try to exalt you, every one of you, above myself. To lift one another up. We ought to be outdoing one another in love and in service. And in love. God demonstrated His love towards us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That same love has been poured into our hearts. Romans tells us, we just came out of the study, right? God poured His love into my heart. I don't have to ask Him for more love. I don't have to ask Him for more divine power, more divine nature. It's learning to walk in that with Him. And learning to love those like He's loved me. Like He's forgiven me. That's the way that Peter's talking about here. These are the things that we should be doing, and we should be doing them diligently. Verse 8, he goes on, he says, "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they will render you neither useless or unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." It comes with a promise that as we're working in these things, God's promise, you won't be useless. You won't be unfruitful. You ever have times in your life you feel like, I'm really not accomplishing anything? I get up, I go to work, I do this stuff, I get up, I feed children, I change diapers, da 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 da. You just feel useless. You feel worthless sometimes. Not as we do these things as unto the Lord. And God says, do, live this way. Continue to pursue these things and you won't be. You will love like we're supposed to love. I will be in control. I will know what His will is so that I'll be walking in His will. I'll be doing the things that He's leading me to do. And if He wants you in that new job, He'll put you in that new job. It's a promise. It comes with a promise. It also comes with a warning. For he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Do you look at your life and you see these things and you see what they mean? Do you see, are you lacking in these qualities? Do you not see any of these qualities? Are you blind to these qualities? Nearsighted? Nearsighted is like you're squinting, right? You see? Did I have not been diligent? If you're blind, again, you may, are you saved? If you've grown nearsighted, you've left being diligent. He says there's a warning. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these, you will never stumble. If you don't see these qualities, go back. Check. Are you truly saved? You know that God saved you? That He has poured His Spirit into you? That He has opened your eyes that you see that you have a taste for the things of the Lord? You have a love for His people? If not, you may have become nearsighted and you may have left these things. Be all the more diligent. You think this is like looking at Jonathan Edwards and saying, look at the diligence that he's planning on putting in this. He's saying, hey, cry out, going, be more diligent. If you don't see these, be more diligent. Why? Eternity's at stake. You don't have a desire for this, you need to check your salvation. You don't have a desire for the people of God? I don't know. God knows who's saved, who's not saved. But we can also look if there's no fruit, if there's none of these growing in us and continuing to produce in us these kind of qualities, we should check ourselves. And if you've fallen away from that, repent, return to the Lord. Qualities are not yours. Have you left your first love? There's a church over in the book of Revelations, Laodicea. Rich with goods, blessing. Lord says, I got one thing against you. You left your first love. You left me. You don't love me. That's the working that's going on here. It's a relationship with God and Jesus Christ. God is working in us. He is accomplishing His work in us by someone who is diligent to put off the things that don't need to be there, that will sacrifice time for ease to go and to work on these qualities. Man, you can forget about your salvation. You can forget about the gloriousness of what God has done, the work that He's continuing to do, and the next thing you know, we stepped off this road and we start to see things. It's like, wow, that looks like that's where my hope would be in that. Just talk about this in APF. It's so easy. And then it's just strange, isn't it? He's giving you these great and precious promises and we're kind of like, we'll walk away from them. We will. Why? Because you have to be diligent. You have to continue to work and pursue these things. Again, another promise, he finishes out that verse, you will never stumble. You're walking with the Lord, it'll be difficult. It'll feel like stumbling sometimes because it's hard. But because of the promise, we know He's doing the work in us and He's accomplishing our work through those trials. We keep right on walking and we live by those precious promises. And we glorify God in the way that we do it. He also goes on and he says in verse 11, he says, for in this way, entrance into eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. So you can go into heaven a little more better than everybody else? I don't know. It says there it'll be abundantly supplied to you. That means something more, right? He don't tell us. He doesn't tell us. But He does make a promise, and it's not so much that you're going to get in there. I believe God can, if that's the way it is, and it will come in differently into heaven by the way that we live, in the way that we sacrifice, it almost makes sense, even with sin in our thinking, that yeah, Paul ought to go in a little better than me. I believe God can do it in such a way without sin being present and things being made right that we can go in and some will be abundantly and there won't be jealousy in it. There won't be sin in it. I don't know what it looks like, but I know He says right here it'll be abundantly supplied. Part of the point is, are you heavenly minded? It changes the way we live. That this is not it. We're just here. It's not about the pleasures of this world, the things that I can attain, the houses that I can get, the money that I can make. That's not it. The ultimate end is, right, we'll stand before God one day and we will give an account. We do know there is a judgment. It won't be for our salvation, but it will be for the works that we did. So it would make sense. You could come in a little more abundantly if possible. Whatever it is, leave that part to God. Just make it your desire to know, man, I ought to be diligently working at this. To glorify God because of the things that He's done for me and the great love that I have for Him because of the salvation that He has given to me. That I do these things because these are His qualities, these are His characters, these are the graces in my life that I live. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by the way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent at any time after my departure. You will be able to recall these things to mind. Therefore, He is always reminding you of these things. Here's a good word for you. Be very careful, because you can come in here and you can hear preaching, you can hear a passage of Scripture, and you'll be going, okay, I know that. I wonder what He's going to do with it this week. Is Pastor Rush going to give me a special nugget today? If not, it's just going to be the same stuff that I already know. Peter in his dying days, what is he doing? And he already, what did he say? You're already established in this truth. You already know these things. It's so important. It's so vital. I'm going to remind you again and again and again and again. Because this is God's way. That we diligently work together with Him, doing His will, glorifying Him, living with these attributes that looks just like Jesus. He doesn't come with a new nugget. He doesn't come with something else that they've never heard before. I'm talking to some people and it's like, you've been established in this. Don't leave this. Don't leave this. I think that's why you see in a lot of these letters, you see over and over, especially in Paul and in Peter, what? Grace, peace be multiplied to you. Grace, peace be multiplied to you. Grace, peace be multiplied to you. It's over and over and over. They start off every letter. Why? This is the working of God. This is what He's doing. May God grace, more grace, more grace. Why? Because I'm growing in these attributes. These are the things that I'm diligently working at. And that it's only by grace. It's only by that divine power that God gives me so that I can accomplish these things. And these guys always write out in their letter going, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Oh, may the grace and peace, the promises, the things that have brought, the promises that bring peace to us, that allows us to walk in these trials, not just to walk in them, but to see them as God ordained in my life so that it will cause things in me to come out and look like Christ Himself and preach the gospel to those who are watching, those who are dying with absolutely no hope. Diligently work at these things. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Peter, in his last days, this is one of the things he said. He will go on and write much more. My encouragement to you today is that you will consider these things, that you will look at them, and if they're not your qualities and you don't know Christ as Savior, today would be your day of salvation. Come to us. Come to Pastor Rush. Grab one of our members. Grab anybody. I want to know more about what he's talking about. I want to know more about the gospel. I want to know more about Jesus Christ. If these qualities are of yours, but they're waning, we haven't been diligent here. We'll work on these things. These are the things we encourage one another. This is not to make you feel bad. This is just a reminder because there's such great importance involved with it. It's not to come in here and for anybody to feel beat up. Be encouraged. God, this is the kind of work that He's longing to do in us. Look, evaluate your life. Look, go into heaven abundantly. Go into heaven. It's hard to imagine even thinking, wow, how could that be? Just seeing Christ face to face is it. Being with God. Being without sin. Forever and ever and ever. It really doesn't matter to me what He does when I come in there. I'm there. And it's really not about the entrance into heaven because that's already guaranteed. That's one of the precious promises, right? A magnificent promise. He said He will take us there because the work that He has done, He will complete it at the day of Christ. It's really more about how are we getting there. It's the walk getting there. Are we doing it in the right way? And are we moving in the right direction? Are we doing it with God's qualities and His character? And we're doing it according to His will. He'll take care of the entrance. But it's while we're here, are you walking in the right way? You know, are we walking in His way? Let me pray for us. Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You that as we read it and we look at the work that You have done, may we be once again reminded and astounded at all that You have done. The great love that You have set Your affections on us. Sinners who hated You, who were Your enemies, who were rejecting, did not want You to be our king. We wanted to be our own king and to rule our own little kingdom. And yet You pursue us in Your gospel and by faith You save us. by grace we have been saved through faith. And it is a gift of God. It's not of works, so that no one can boast. And in that calling, you have also designed that we would have good works, and that you long for us to show Christ to the world. So as we look at this, and as Peter writes, and what an important writing it is, he encourages those that are there. Continue on. So much so that when I'm gone, you won't forget them. So God, help us as we go into just another day. These are always just very small steps. They're not leaps. They are just generally walking step by step with you, growing in these graces. So help us. Help us to encourage one another in these things. So that you will use us, and that people will be saved right here in this community, in this city, in this nation, and that others will leave here and go to other parts of the world. We love you. Thank you so much for Christ and for saving us. In His precious name we pray. Amen.